Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, yesterday on the programme, we asked on Taoiseach Simon Harris about a promise he made when he was Minister for Health in 2017, that a four-month wait target for scoliosis treatment would be met. Well, since he made those commitments, despite some initial improvements, waiting lists have now increased, and there's currently an external review being conducted into certain aspects of children's orthopaedic services. Families say they're now facing increased delays for life-altering spinal surgery, and many say the impact on their children is significant and sometimes profound. Well, Brian O'Connell has spoken to one family in a particularly difficult situation, and Brian joins me now. So, Brian, will you tell me about Liam Dennehy?
Liam is from Fossa in Kerry. He's a teenager who has faced significant medical challenges in his life to date. Liam is the youngest of four boys. He wanted to be a writer since he was seven, Claire, and his passions are art, music, writing. He uses technology to communicate through eye movement. He's in mainstream school and he hopes to attend first year in Killarney in September. And as I said, Liam has several complex conditions. Just over a year ago, his mum, Pam, noticed his spine was changing and she brought him for an assessment. I spoke with Pam yesterday and she told me first about her son, Liam.
He is an amazing little boy, just incredible. He has been through an awful lot in his life. At 3 months old, he was diagnosed with a life-threatening condition with no cure, just management. It's called glutaric aciduria type 1 and it's a metabolic condition. You can only manage it by diet and then you just hope for the best. But what it means is that any illnesses, like minor illnesses, he's at risk of coma, stroke or death. He also has epilepsy and dystonic cerebral palsy. He just faces everything with a smile on his face. He is in sixth class, although he hasn't been at school at all since before December.
One of the medical interventions that Liam is waiting on is spinal surgery because he has scoliosis. Is that correct?
That's correct. In November 2022, actually, he was checked by two senior physios and he was deemed to be straight. So in January and February, he was starting to be in a bit of pain, you know, like in the positioning of his wheelchair and different things like that. We kind of took it further and he ended up going for an X-ray in Cork. So a year ago, we were told that his spine was at 35 degrees on his first X-ray. We continued within that system with outpatient appointments, only to then have a follow-up X-ray in November, which then he was 85 degrees.
So this is rapid, aggressive.
Very aggressive, very.
And what impact was that having on Liam?
It was just horrendous. It was horrendous. It was just pain, just constant pain. Seating was an issue, having to go through the process of trying to get new seating, funding for seating, avail of the seating, and then 6 weeks later, 8 weeks later, trying to adjust the seating to him. But all the while, his spine was changing.
So that's Pam there. And as she said, that scoliosis that Liam has is rapid, Brian, and it really is impacting his day-to-day life.
Yes, the curvature in his spine is quite aggressive and it has added to the serious medical challenges Liam faces. It is impacting, as you can imagine, on his everyday life. And it's impacting as well, Claire, on his family's ability to keep him safe and healthy, as Pam explained.
It started becoming a little bit more difficult to feed him because he's orally fed at present. And his diet consists of level 4, which would be the equivalent of like kind of wet, warm Weetabix. So most of his foods come from a pharmacy and he's on a very strict diet, meaning everything he eats has to be weighed and measured. He was so grimaced. His face was so grimaced from pain that it was very difficult to get him to be able to kind of control those mouth muscles, his, you know, the esophagus, all of that seemed to be affected by it.
And all the while, did you ever get a date for surgery?
Basically, when it came to November 2023, that was when we got our next X-ray, which said 85 degrees. So when we had the appointment in December with our spinal team, it became evident that he needed surgery urgently.
So we're now into April. Has he had his surgery?
No, he hasn't had surgery.
Have you got a date for surgery?
I've no date for surgery.
Will you tell me where you are at the moment?
I am in Tralee General Hospital, or UHK as it's now known.
And why are you in there at the moment?
We are in the hospital 2 weeks today, actually, because Liam's symptoms at night time from the curvature of the scoliosis and what it's doing to his body physically is no longer able to be managed safely at home.
You obviously had growing concerns at your ability to manage Liam at home.
I did. It was 4 a.m. in the morning on the last Sunday before we came in here, and he was on my lap facing me, straddled across my lap, so that I could get him to cough up what he was choking on. And I could no longer safely manage that at home. And I had been managing that at home since January the 1st of this year.
You're there now 2 weeks. What's the plan?
Liam has been managed in a way of trying to minimize the symptoms that he's having from the physical curvature of his spine. All we can do to alleviate that is, number one, we've changed his feeding routine. So basically he's fed little and often. He went from 40 kgs before Christmas to 36 kgs in January. That's 4 kgs that he cannot afford to lose.
Gosh, it's traumatic even listening to what they're going through. Brian, if they had more supports at home, nursing supports, would it be the case that Liam wouldn't need to be in hospital in Tralee?
Well, I think if nursing hours were put in place at home, it would alleviate some of the burden on Pam, who is essentially nursing Liam round the clock with the help of staff. And she's very grateful for the staff in Tralee. But she's having to ensure he doesn't choke at home. And that was why she had to make that decision to take him into Tralee. They have been promised some level of supports. They would help with the daily pain, with the discomfort Liam is in. But Pam says really the only remedy here is surgery. And she acknowledges surgery is high risk. With every week, Liam is losing weight and that surgery becomes more high risk. But she believes spinal fusion, it's the only way for him to reclaim some of his life back.
Last night, he had 2 silent choking episodes on fluid. And there is no more that we can do. Like even if I had a nurse at home, I'm here because if something awful happens, they can resuscitate, they can give oxygen and they can use suction. We are here because we are at the end of the road of what can manually be done to keep Liam well and safe and alive.
Is there a concern, Pam, that an operation like this for somebody like Liam could be life or death, basically?
It is really. Like the operation itself isn't something any parent would want to be shouting to get because it is very intense, very extreme. He's a complex care child. We have gone through the process of pre-op. We did that in February in Temple Street. So we spent a week in Temple Street where we did a week of pre-op tests.
Nobody has said to you, we're not going to do this surgery. It's too high risk.
Nobody has. No, we actually got it's the opposite. Everybody basically on the team is happy to go ahead.
What do you want at this point?
I want them to bring him in and give him surgery because I've already been told that because he's now gone to 85 degrees and above, potentially has now become 2 surgeries where they will do a surgery and 2 weeks later they will have to go in again. And the worry with that is they're struggling to give him a date for 1 surgery. How are they planning on giving him 2? In the last 3 days in the hospital here, he's become rigid to lift. And I mean rigid. It was always painful. So it's getting to the point where he's going to become so unwell that I'm also afraid that, number one, that they're going to say he's inoperable. Number 2, that he'll become so malnourished that he won't be able to face that surgery. Number 3, that he could pick up an infection inside here. He should not be inside in the hospital.
As you can imagine, Claire, having to be with Liam around the clock, watching him suffer more and more every hour, every day, every week, and trying to keep him well enough and with enough weight on to be able for surgery, this is obviously taking its toll on Pam and her family.
We need to have the surgery. It is the only option left.
For you, Pam, as a mom, what's it been like?
I have no words, to be honest. This is just, it is a form of torture. Genuinely, that I can't understand how in this day and age that a country like ours, who would be a warm, welcoming, you know, a country who is always open to helping, give the shirt off our back, to leave a child to suffer so much. Like, I described it to my sister when I was talking to her the other day and I was saying, Liam ended up having a rare metabolic disease. We had no choice but to manage that and face it. He ended up having epilepsy. We had no choice but to manage that and face it. He ended up having dystonic cerebral palsy. Again, no choice but to face it. This is preventable, fixable, manageable. And it is being left to get to the point of the opposite of that. You know, they're really putting him at risk and even at more risk within the surgery because he is going to be more unwell. And I feel like it's falling on deaf ears to a certain degree. he is literally the light and soul of our lives. Like, he is the center point of our family, and he is just incredible. He is the bravest child I've ever met. You know, he's a massive part of his local school. He has great friends there. I've known, like, and to see him suffer, needlessly suffer, like, that is absolutely horrifying. Like,
you want to plan and you want to date for surgery, essentially.
I want an urgent date for surgery. They talk about needing ICU beds for if a trauma victim comes in, etc.
Yeah.
This is an everyday living trauma right here. You know, why would you keep a bed for an if when you have a now?
She's such a strong advocate, Pam, but you have to ask why, you know, why someone like that needs to come on national radio and say all of this. You did go to Children's Health Ireland and you asked them about it.
And for GDPR reasons, CHI don't comment on individual cases. The last update I got from CHI at the start of April, 270 waiting on a spinal surgery list. Last month, the Department of Health told me the ongoing external independent review is progressing well and the final report and full review should be finished by the end of summer. Now, Sinn Féin's health spokesperson David Colnan has issued a statement on Liam's case. He said it's not acceptable. There are hundreds of children on surgical lists, and he said we can't continue to fail children like Liam. The Scoliosis Advocacy Network said this is a children's rights issue and they want communication with families to be dramatically improved. They want the government to recommit to targets it previously set, and they want an explanation as to how the government will meet the needs of some of our most vulnerable children.
And what about these reports we saw in yesterday's papers that there might be a dedicated unit now set up to tackle this?
The Irish Sun is reporting a dedicated spinal unit or management team would probably be more akin to will be given additional resources. They report to hire 11 new staff. This is in an effort to tackle those waiting lists. On top of this, there are planned now weekend outpatient clinics, extra MRI scan slots as well. So it's likely they may be made available. And this is all in an effort to improve access to treatment for families like Liam.
All right, Brian, I know that you'll keep in touch with Pam and with Liam, and I want to thank them both for speaking to Brian today. That's Brian O'Connell there reporting. Coming up next, after more than 40 years today, the families of those who died in the Stardust fire will get a state apology.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.